Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Soul's listeners. It's a lovely 74 degrees. I hope that you are indeed enjoying this weather like I am. It is killing me that I have to unfortunately go back to work tomorrow because spring break is over. However, I will be starting it with some refreshing words from Linda Williams. This is the last installment of the mini-series with the fabulous Linda. However, it will not be the last time you hear her voice on the Soul Block Talk Radio show. Good evening, Linda. How are you?
I'm just fine, my friend. How are you?
I am super full. I just got done eating some Barberitos, but it is okay. It is okay. I love Mexican food or anything Mexican related. So needless to say, I'm going to have to find me a Hispanic individual to cook me some food. I don't want anybody to confuse some things because I love my brothers.
Oh, I'm feeling you, though. Look, be real. Don't be beating all around the doggone bush. You want a Latino in your life.
I want a Latino cook. I don't want a Latino man. Maybe he can be Latino in black.
Okay,
you know.
Look, you ain't going to get to have your everything. Come on. Look, old boy can cook. Long as old boy can cook, he all right in my book. He can be purple. Don't give a flying rip. Girl, I ain't gonna lie to you. Every long-term relationship I ever had, the guy could throw down in that kitchen because I am not a cook. You know, I was thinking about, number one, I almost missed this call because I came right straight to this phone from getting off work. And I was thinking about trying to really leave your audience with something powerful. And I decided that if you don't mind, I'd really like to talk about Moses.
Wow.
I want to talk about Moses because, you know, we know he got to look over into the promised land. We know that he never entered the promised land. We also know that his sidekick Aaron never entered the promised land. And as I tell this quick story to your audience, I want them to remember and keep in mind that the promised land to the children of Israel represented their destiny. Now, we already covered to some extent that we all have a purpose for being here. God doesn't create a thing without having a purpose in his heart. And before we were even thought of by our parents, or our parents were born, or their parents were born, God had us in his heart. And he knew that he had put us here for a specific purpose and a specific reason, all in line with the master plan. We've got to connect now that purpose now with a vision. So, without a vision, the people perish. You have to have a sense of what you're here for in order to develop the vision to see that come into fruition. And that come into fruition is tantamount to our promised land. I want your audience to, as I tell this quick story, to keep in mind that this is not some fairy tale from multiple hundreds of years before. This is a prime example of what's going on in our lives right now that are roadblocking our reaching our destiny as God created it. Now, I say in the book, I open up the chapter, first chapter, with a hellacious situation that I was in. I was bankrupt. I was bankrupt not only financially, but I was bankrupt spiritually and emotionally. I was one fingernail from another nervous breakdown, and I say another. You read the book, you'll see about the other ones. I was this is no stretch. I was 1 month from being out in the street and kicked out of the place I was living in. Now, this occurred after that 16-year marriage to the gentleman that I was married to that turned out that he was later convicted within 2 or 3 years of our divorce being final. He was convicted as a sexual predator. and a rapist. And so he's gone down for like his third count. He's in prison for life right now. Well, in the wake of that, the bankruptcy, I realized I had unaffirming relationships, not just girlfriends, but the guys I was seeing. I was like one fingernail from a nervous breakdown and being homeless, and I was angry at the world, okay? I was mad at the world. It was everybody's fault. I'm thinking low about them because ain't nobody there when I need them. You know, ain't nobody there when I need help. What is it I'm looking at here? And I was just on my way out. Backwards, okay? Now, when I start the book in this situation, telling about this situation, I relate myself to Moses. I say, basically, like Joyce Beyer said, you know, you're going to keep going around that same mountain until you learn the lesson you need to learn. You get to take that test over and over again until you learn whatever it is that's got you in this relentless cycle of failed relationships, changing jobs, frustration in your career, whatever life patterns you see. That's what I was caught in, and that's going around the mountain. And I said, at least Moses got to see his promised land. The way I was going, I wasn't even going to see mine. Now, we know that Moses didn't make it into the promised land. A lot of people relate to his not making it in with him striking that rock. God probably told him to speak to the rock, make the water come out for the children of Israel. They were thirsty and everything. And they was always bellyaching, blaming Moses for their plight and everything. And he was just threadbare with being the scapegoat for all their problems. So he got angry. He struck the rock. We relate his not getting into the kingdom to striking that rock. But really, we have to get the backstory. You'll hear me talk in the book a lot about the backstory. And for your listeners who don't know, whose apple is it anyway? Empowering purpose to achieve your God-ordained destiny is the name of my book. You can go to whoseapple.org and see that. Buy the book, whatever, see the trailer. One-stop shop. Anyway, there's something tied to the backstory of why he hit that rock. He hit that rock and blessed out the whole doggone ungrateful nation. But that was just another incident in his life story of him getting angry enough to blow it. Now, we think back to he went to Goshen. He came back. He cold-cocked some Egyptian slave driver for beating up some one of his Hebrew brothers. He buried the body. He went on about his business thinking nobody saw that. Then one day he was trying to break up this fight between two of his Hebrew brothers. They were fighting each other, and they just greeted him with a hearty, "You got a lot of nerve talking after you killed that Egyptian." And he went running up out of Egypt with a price on his head for killing that Egyptian. Now, that's 40 years of his life that he was off the scene. He spent another 40 years in the desert. During the 40 years, you saw incidents where he came down out of the mountain. He had the tablets with the Ten Commandments, broke those up against the mountain mad because Aaron had done the goofy. He never even got to relate a word of them before he broke them down, broke them on the mountain. We see that he flew off in a fit of anger with the Egyptian slave driver, killed him. So he had an underlying recurrent issue of anger in his life. And it's not so much, from my perspective now, it's not so much about him striking that rock. Is that was the straw that broke the camel back. I've been talking to you for 80 years now about your anger issues, the Lord is saying to him. You still ain't getting a grip on that. Sorry, Charlie, you just blew it. That was your crossroads. I've had it up to here with your anger issues. You wouldn't let me into them. So now guess what? You disqualified. You're going to fulfill your purpose in the master plan, but you're not going to see your promised land. That destiny that I laid out with Abraham when I walked that lantern in between the pieces of animals and I made this irrefutable covenant with Abraham that I was giving you guys this land, you ain't going to see it. You ain't going to see it. Now, let me ask you this. When you read the history of Josephus and some of the old historical documents around Moses, you read that he was an Egyptian war hero. Egypt was about to get taken out by the Ethiopians. They were no match for the Ethiopians. Moses is what saved them. He went into battle. He developed a battle strategy. He saved them. He defeated the Ethiopians, and Egypt got to stand. Moses was raised and being reared and groomed to be the next Pharaoh. Now, he's Egyptian, he's Hebrew all day long. His nose, everything. You can look at him and tell it. But there were no heirs apparent to the throne. When you read the history, the lady that took Moses out of the water, she took him to her father, who was Pharaoh. She told him, this is in the history books, this ain't in the Bible now. I'm just telling you a story I read in the history books now. She told Pharaoh, her father, that this is the new heir to the throne. I have adopted this Hebrew boy. Her father, the Pharaoh at the time, took and welcomed Moses by putting Moses on his lap. Then he took his crown, his diadem, they call it, his crown off and put it on Moses' head. And even as a child, Moses snatched that crown off his head and threw it down and stomped it on the ground, as if that was a pre-vision of what his whole destiny was going to be, to defeat the entire kingdom, okay? So now I'm asking you guys this. Just think on this. What if the perfect plan of God would have been, okay, Moses, putting you in here, we're going to let you be Pharaoh, and as Pharaoh, you can free all the Hebrew slaves. You can issue an irrefutable edict, which the ring sealed with your ring. As Pharaoh, you can just release the whole nation of Israel, let them walk free. What if that was God's perfect plan? But the day that he sat there and killed that Egyptian, he blew anything that any possibility that he would ever be king of Egypt. In that moment, his anger issues caused his whole life to be, the whole trajectory of his life to change. And what God might have planned for him, simply sealing with his ring an edict that freed the slaves, was just history. History. Now just think on that. What if God's perfect will, perfect plan would have been to go ahead and let Moses become king of Egypt and just free the slaves without all that drama they had to go through? I'm just offering that up because we don't realize that these were human beings. They lived, they cried, they died, they bled just like we do. And when they stood at that border, with God looking them down after they had been so disobedient and rebellious, when God had to stand there with his back to the promised land and look at that defiant nation and tell them, oop, no, you ain't ready. You got to wander this desert another 40 years until all of you naysayers die off. We don't realize that that had to break God's heart. We see an angry God standing there, happy to do that. But I don't believe he was happy. I believe that broke his heart. And I say in the book, what had them blinded? They were blinded to the very destiny that they were living for. This was the one generation out of many generations that was going to this promise come to fruition. And they denied destiny. They denied destiny. Because along with the riches that they carried out of Egypt, they carried the fear-soaked remnants of bondage. And that bondage became who they were. They became that bondage to the point where it had their minds on lockdown, to the point that they couldn't even see the destiny before them.
But, you know, there's a lesson in what you said. What if God's will was different? What if he did not allow those trials and tribulations to happen? What if they were able to just go free and willingly without it? What if he was made king? Like, history itself would have changed totally.
That whole history changed. Let me tell you something. That's why I wrote this book. That's why I wrote this book, because we need to have a healthy, realistic, and truthful vision, okay, of how our free will choices alter the trajectory of our lives, how the choices we make can alter God's perfect plan. It's like predestination and free will, they're not mutually exclusive. And when we don't recognize that we have a free will, and that we can make choices that can change the trajectory of our lives and the lives of everybody connected to us in the master plan, then what we do is we're blaming the devil. Devil is a lie. Devil wrong. Devil busy. Or we're blaming God and saying, oh, God took me through that so that I would know, hello, God can't be planning no negativity in your life. He's all love. He's all God. He planned something different for you. But he also gave you free will. So you get to make choices in this. And that was just such a powerful example of how the decisions we make, our inability to see how life has twisted up our characters, and therefore being unable to allow God to change us in those areas, can really affect whether or not we ever see the destiny that God has laid out for us. So how can a perfect, loving God create a destiny for you that's powerful and positive and edifying and purposeful? How can he create that and then be throwing a bunch of lug nuts in the game plan just to have fun with it? I don't think so. Either God is who he says he is, either God's character is every bit of what all his names are, or it is not. He cannot be both. So at some point, we have to get a healthy vision of how our decisions and our choices affect our destiny. See, we're looking at this whole thing with the children of Israel like it's a storybook thing. You know, you go to Sunday school as a kid and there's cartoons and pretty pictures in our books and they're telling us these stories. No, they're in the Bible to show us what's happening to us right now in the new millennium. In the new millennium, okay? You have got to read this book, you guys. I go into this in much more detail, and I tell the story not all dry and thee thou this kind of mess, because that ain't even who I am. So I'm telling these stories with new millennial relevance. They're all based in Scripture. And they also have mixed in sound behavioral science. I talk about the cosmic chess game, where in this cosmic chess game, you know, God tells us where to move on the chessboard, and we get to choose whether we're going to listen up or not. So he can tell you, to, as a rook, to move up a square, and we can look around and not see another thing. We can move, look around and say, oh, okay, I don't see anybody else, so I must be a king. And then I move, I must be a knight. And then I move like a knight moves. I take out one of Satan's men and think I've done something. Well, no, let's ask the officials. You got to play by the rules, dude. No, sorry, dude. You're a rook. You can't take out other men. So guess what? You, the dude you just sidelined, back in the game, okay? And your behind is on the sideline. And now your queen and king are vulnerable. And now Team Destiny has to orchestrate the game plan around your doing the goofy. We're all interconnected. Nobody accomplishes anything as a team of one. And that means that as long as I'm stuck on stupid, long as I'm not hearing where my issues are, not seeing where I'm the problem that keeps perpetuating stuff in my life, I'm not allowing God to get down in there and heal my heart, then other people who are connected to me in the master plan are suffering because they're waiting on me.
But what if I don't see that I am the problem?
That you don't know you have a problem until you see that you are the problem. See, we don't know. See, that's the whole thing, though. This whole thing is so insidious. It's so subversive that we're so blinded to it. We don't see how it's playing out in our lives. That's the danger of it. Because as long as we're not seeing the truth about it, then we're all focused. As long as we're all focused, we can't have that vision. Okay, we. Long as we're all focused, we're not seeing truth. Okay, and we're not basing our everyday decisions on that truth. Okay, so we're basing our decisions on something that's a lie. So when people holler, "The devil is a lie," they really don't know how much so, and they don't realize in that moment how much they're believing those lies.
And, you know, people use that saying often, and I laugh because the thing is that when I hear people use that saying and then I hear them back it up with a Bible chapter, book, and verse, in my mind, I don't think that person actually realizes, and, you know, I judge none because I am the first to throw shade at myself all day long. I do have an issue, though, with someone, however, that does not realize the hypocrisy within their own self.
Right. We don't see it.
And they will quickly try to say that they are holier than thou, try to use the situation, try to use the word, try to use the experience and say that it was because of Jesus and whatever else that the Bible gives them and justify their adverse behaviors.
Look, you can just look. You can ask any mass murderer that's out there off their rock. Look, you can make the Bible say anything you want to. Judas went and hung himself. Go ye also and do likewise. Okay, you can make it say anything you want to do. But this is the deal: just because somebody wants to bend and twist the word of God around some of their mess like a pipe cleaner, doesn't make them working out of truth. Okay, and so we have to know that word ourselves. I'm going to tell you now, I'm a stickler for theology. I had to do a lot of studying to write this book. I couldn't just write this book based on what stories I'd heard from the pulpit and what I had heard as a kid growing up in Sunday school. I had to dig. That meant I was not digging in my psychotherapy books. Okay, I was digging into Matthew Henry's commentary, the interlinear Bible, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the NIE, Josephus. God was taking me to all of those places to substantiate what's written in this book. And this is not based on what I heard come from the pulpit. I'm telling you now one thing about me. You can come out that pulpit with something way off, I'm going to know it. We have got to be in our word and in our own direct relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, in order to know when something twisted flying at us, and we got to quit being gullible and swallowing everything coming out of everybody's pulpit like it's the word of God just because there's some preacher up there saying it. That's our responsibility. And I just watched a documentary on all these church burnings last night, and they had a really heavy set guy. You know, they have these vignettes, and the guy was talking about he had those two boys in his Sunday school class, and you know, how he just was this, that, and the other. When the churches started burning, and he felt like, dang, you know, these churches need to get on board. They need to figure out how they mistreating these people. They need to learn how to be more loving, then more accepted, or that church wouldn't have burned down. And in the end, they show this same guy talking about, I had no clue I was one of those people. I'm one of those people. I'm the reason these boys are all twisted up and burning down churches. At the end, they showed him saying that. He stepped down from his position in that church and put rubber to the road to what he was saying. I got to get my butt out here. I'm a truck driver. I'm going to have a church wherever my butt walk. I'm going to be open to whoever wants to talk to me. I'm going to be open and not judgmental to anybody. I don't care if you come in there smelling stinky. I don't care if you come in there smelling like alcohol, smelling like reefer. I'm going to love like Jesus loved. It changed his life. Just because he woke up one day and realized that he was the judgment that he was spewing out of his mouth. That's how insidious this is. I'm telling you, people need to read that book. I am not saying that because I wrote that book. I'm not saying that because 7 years and 6 days of my blood, sweat, and tears are on in the pages of that book. I'm saying that because I honestly believe what my mother predicted and prophesied to me years before that book even came about, that I was going to write a book, and that what the heck I was going through is not about me, but about all the people in the body of Christ who would be freed because of what I was going through. And I'm saying that everybody for years, 8, 9 years, you know, when's the book going to be out? When's the book going to be out? When's the book going to be out? And half of those people haven't picked it up to buy it. They haven't picked it up to read it. Haven't asked for a copy because they couldn't afford it. None of that. And I'm saying it's just like God's word. If you don't read that word, it'll make no difference and have no power in your life. And my life and the dumb mistakes I made and the knucklehead mess I did and the balance that this book presents between your humanity and your spirituality and the truths that are in that book, I'm telling you, they are life-changing. Life-changing. And there's no way that in a 30-minute interview I can lay it all out. There's just so much in there. But I wanted to share this story before we ended our series because it gives us a lot to think about.
And before I actually open it up to some of the guests, because we do actually have guests tonight, tell the listeners how they can, you know, go about obtaining a copy of the book. And for those that may be in that situation where they can't afford the book, how can they reach out to you and be like, Linda, you know, I want this book. I want to, you know, really, really hear and feel these words. How can they also get the book as well?
Okay, you can go to whoseapple.org, 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 and all of the links for the hard copy, I mean the hardback, the paperback, and the ebook are all there on that page right where you see the trailer. At the bottom of that page, at the very bottom, is a free 54-page preview of the book. The book is electronic. It just, the pages flip as if you were really flipping them. And I would suggest that if anybody really couldn't afford the book, that they should go to their local library and have them and make sure that they have a copy that they can check out, because these libraries should probably have the book by now. Meanwhile, go there, see the 54-page excerpt, determine if it's something you want to read, and if you do, go to your library if you can't afford it, or get the ebook, which is the cheapest, get the paperback, that's the next cheapest, or get the hardback.
Okay, and we are at this time going to open it up to the guests that are listening. Have area code 336-875-9061.
I'm getting a lot of feedback on your end.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, but I'm hearing the echo in the background. And it sounds almost like wind blowing by, but I can still hear you.
Okay, and I'm not sure if that's our guest that I've unmuted or what.
Okay.
Hold on, let me see. So, do you still hear it?
No, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm thinking that it may have been our guest. Oh.
Oh, that's okay. Everybody should mute your phones, turn down the radio program in the background that always causes feedback. You have to turn it down so you can't hear it. And then let's see if we can answer some of their questions here.
Okay, so we're going to try it again. All right. Area code 336-875-9061. Are you there?
I am.
How are you? Introduce yourself.
I am.
Do you want to introduce yourself or do you have any questions?
Well, my name's Tony, and I just would like to know what really inspired you to write such a book, and do you think others will be able to follow suit?
Oh, Tony, yeah, it wasn't on my bucket list, Tony. Thanks for asking. I had no aspirations to be an author. None at all. But one thing that you'll learn, if you go out there to YouTube, to Who's Apple Empowerment Center on YouTube, you'll see some videos where I talk about how destiny doesn't look the way you think it will. Destiny just doesn't. And this was a spiritual mandate. My sister called me on December 17th, 2005 and said, Linda, you're going to write a book. And she said that book will progress only as you heal. So it took me 7 years and 6 days to write it because that's how long my healing journey took. I'm glad you asked the question, because whether it's a book, a painting, a poem, Maybe it's being a teacher. Maybe it's speaking to people. Maybe you're a natural encourager, an exhorter. Whatever it is that God's naturally put in you, that's what you need to pursue. I've always had a natural ability to write, to speak. I never knew it would culminate in this kind of a platform, but whatever it is that God has put in us, we need to leverage that and go ahead and utilize those talents and abilities to express your God-given purpose on earth, whatever that is.
Okay, and also, in your book, I know you made a reference to how Moses was and how what Moses did, and how would you say that relates to, I guess, the different forms of religion, or should I say Christianity, that's out there today, and how would that relate to your book?
Okay, it has no reference to different religions at all. The book is strictly about us as individuals in our humanity. I'm not one for denominations. I think the denominations take one piece of the Bible to the exclusion of the other and major on some parts. I'm just not into really organized religion. So this is not a book about religion. But the Moses story relates to all of us and our inability to see what's holding us back from our destinies. Every man of God in that word, not just Moses, I use him because I was most like Moses in the current situation that begins the book. But I could have picked and chosen any man of God right from the Old Testament through the New that had one issue or another. David, a murdering, adulterous son of a gun that God said was a man after his own heart simply because he was willing to repent when he knew he was wrong. Now, it might took him years to realize he was a murderous adulterer, but when he got that truth, he dealt with it. A murderer. You know, Solomon, Samson, all of them had issues where they the things in their character that they couldn't see or refused to address. So there's a bunch of noise going on in the background, so everybody should mute their phones. This is about the internal process, our individual places in the master plan, and it really doesn't relate to any particular religion.
Okay.
And so, Linda, for those like myself, because I do believe I have, I guess, some sort of gift as far as writing is concerned. I've had a block, per se, for years, and I would like to publish not only an anthology to spin off from the blog, but also a poetry book. However, I've not been able to get it on paper. So what advice would you give to those that are unable to release those thoughts from mind to pen to paper or from mind to computer?
Well, I think that you should just use any means you can. If it's about recording it down by your voice, do that. But I want to go to the deeper issue. See, you know, sometimes, and I talked to in previous interviews about, and in the book about how I got locked down and couldn't get to this book because I had to come through and admit some rapes, admit some trauma I had gone through and move through the healing process. You have to figure out between you and God whether or not this lockdown is because of some kind of thing that you need to overcome or whether it's just a matter of you too doggone busy to put pen to paper. See, that's two different things. And I can't give you a litany of steps to go through to determine whether or not it's something holding you back from that or you're just too busy. That's something that you need to really get before God with and open your heart to so that he can show you, okay, yeah, you think that's what you're supposed to be doing, but no, I want you over here. Or, yeah, that's what I want you to do, but you got to make up your mind that you're going to do that and prioritize that, or yeah, that's what you're going to do. That's what I want you to do. But there's some things I need to work through in you so that you can unlock that ability and that skill. I've seen people whole abilities and skills and talents get completely locked down by stuff that they're carrying in their souls that are undealt with. And it's a complicated issue. I'm going to always go to the deeper issues on these, but I'll also tell you that it could be a matter of just lack of commitment to make sure that you get it done and step through that process, or it could be something deeper going on. And that's something that you have to work out between you and God. And if you get the book, I give you two powerful tools to walk through and root out anything that's in there that you may not be aware of. Walk out that whole healing process. It's called the Apple Inventory and the Fruit Philosophy. Two powerful tools that I want you guys to get when you read the book.
Well, we have the Apple Inventory and say the other one again.
Fruits Philosophy. And when they peruse my website, they'll see what those are.
Okay,
I've got little
so,
cards up there. They can click on it, click on those words, and it'll take you to what the acronyms mean.
So I'm actually going to have to take a look at that myself. I will definitely say I have appreciated these past couple of weeks, Linda. They have definitely made a difference to me. I hope this is not the last time that you visit the Souls Block Talk radio show. We would love to have you back on anytime that you feel the need to come back on.
Well, just give me a call, my friend. I just have enjoyed it so much.
And we have as well. If again, you know, if you are a listener and you're gonna listen, or you're not a listener and you're actually gonna listen to the playback, make sure that you do find Linda Williams. How can they find you, Linda?
WHOSEAPPLE.org. That's whosapple.org. One stop shop.
All right, and you can also find me on Souls Block Talk Radio. You can find me on WordPress. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, as well as Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to leave you with this thought. You must first love yourself before you can love anyone else. The love within you allows you to love others. And if there's not anything else you want to add to that, Linda, then we will call
you
evening.
God bless everybody. I'll see you at Destiny's Border.
All right, lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.